Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia.
Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with our host, Tom Meglia. Tom is a chartered financial consultant, an accredited estate planner, and holds a Master's of Science in Financial Services with over 27 years of financial counseling and coaching experience. Tom is also a Crown Ministries budget coach with Money Matters, heard weekly here on this station. Tom Meglia, you can visit him online at knowingtheeconomyofgod.com. We'd love to hear from you, 800-386-3700. The new book is almost hot off the press. Here he is, our host, Tom Meglia. Tom, how are you?
Great. How are you, Reba?
I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for asking.
All right.
I'm ready to dive back in. We're making our way through some awesome principles.
We are, and this week we'll be on Psalms. And before we do that, I'd like to talk to the listener right now and let them know that over my decades of being a financial planner, God has done a lot of changing inside me. He's done a lot of work inside me. Mm-hmm. In the past, I've talked about a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. We're all works in progress. And God has done a lot of things in my life, Reba. I remember years ago, I went through some horrible eyeball surgeries, 7 different surgeries over a span of 3 years.
Wow.
And had those not been successful, praise the Lord, I wouldn't even be here today. I'd be either blind or disabled. And I look at that and I think about all the changes that happened in my life, how I was able to see better, both physically and spiritually, because of that situation that happened to me quite a few years ago, about 6.5 years ago. I remember it kind of like 9/11. You remember about it, where you're like, okay, Lord, it's surgery day. It's either going to happen or it's not.
7 surgeries in that short amount of time.
Yep.
I would have never known.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty rough. And, you know, you only have 2 eyes. I'm glad I did not have more eyes, because since it was hereditary, if I had a third eye, it probably would have been around 11 surgeries. So talk about numbers. But, and that will help vault us into our lesson today from the book of Psalms, which I'll have you read, if you would, in a little bit, what that is. Our lesson for today's show. But I want to explain God's economy first. And the economy of God, Reba, based on the book coming out very soon. It'll be here in just a few days. So I'm really glad. I can't wait to see that thing.
I bet. You worked for 3 years on that book.
Probably 2 more than I needed to. But English and grammar were not my strong suits, although we're learning those things as we go.
We learn as we go.
We learn as we go. But God's economy is God's thinking. And we'll know God's thinking when we read the Bible. And we know that the Bible trumps every financial advisor or financial counselor on earth, past, present, or future.
Tom, that's really what makes you different than most of the financial advisors that I talk to. It's about their plan. It's about their – everything is about what they can come up with. And what you're saying is that the Bible trumps that.
It does, because, you know, what I think and what other financial experts think doesn't really matter. What matters is what God says and what God thinks. And are we relaying those messages as messengers and coaches to directly influence a Christian's life so they can apply to their normal living God's thinking to change their life so they can have peace and freedom in their finances while bringing glory to God? That's what it all boils down to. Because on Judgment Day, I want to be able to say to the Lord, Lord, I told people what you said. It wasn't my thinking getting in the way or muddying the waters. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be a mud hen where I muddy the waters and muddy what God says.
Did you say that's a mud hen?
Mud hen.
Okay.
And, you know, I want to just relay God's messages.
In a clear way.
In a clear way. Mm-hmm. And help people be encouraged by His grace. There's always second and third and 23rd chances to do the right thing. God gives us the opportunity and the grace mm-hmm. to keep on trying to do the right thing. But God's word will change our life if we apply it. To apply it, we have to know what the word says. And that's why there's the 4-part recipe, Reba. And the 4-part recipe to learning God's economy is identifying the scripture, stating the principles economically from that scripture, understanding how to apply that principle to our normal and everyday life, and 4th, the prayer of change, asking God to change us, to empower us to obey Him while experiencing the blessings of peace and freedom, glorifying the Lord in our acts. So, Reba, that's God's economy and the recipe. Tell us, before we begin the economic lesson, we must hear, as we do every week, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17.
All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Absolutely. Isn't that awesome?
It is.
God is trying to help us, Reba. He's not throwing a stone in front of our foot to trip us. He doesn't enjoy or get some kind of sick humor out of watching us fall down. That's not a loving mm-hmm. Father. The loving Father God we know is one that wants to teach us, train us, sometimes rebuke us, which I know personally today was not the most fun thing. But, you know, we do learn those things, and they're good for us.
And it equips us, just like the scripture says.
It does equip us.
For every good work.
For every good work, but we have to be humble mm-hmm. and teachable.
And you can't be equipped for bad work.
Right. Right. But we need to be humble mm-hmm. and teachable and get rid of the ego, the pride, and otherwise we won't be teachable or humble to learn. Now, Reba, the four anchors of God's economy, I'm going to have you give us a thought on what those are straight out of the book.
Okay. The four anchors are: God is the creator, we are the stewards, we must be cheerful givers, and content with
yes,
what we have.
Absolutely. Those are the four anchors mm-hmm. that the entire book, the program, and the Bible are about. Mm-hmm. Four anchors. God is the creator owner. We're the humble steward. Giving cheerfully is the first order of being a good steward. And we are to learn to be content Christians in our walk on earth.
You know, it's funny, Tom, because it seems like the more money you get, the more pride can seep in. And so then you think you're the owner.
Exactly.
But the more you give, the more humble you stay. It's like all these four anchors just work together.
That's right. They're all linked. They all work together. Now, Reba, in today's economic lesson, we've moved into the book of Psalms. So will you tell us today's lesson verse that the program is revolving around, please?
Okay. Today we're going to talk about Psalms 37:21. The wicked borrow and do not repay. The righteous give generously.
Exactly. The wicked borrow and do not repay. The righteous give generously.
Wow.
Psalms 37:21.
Such a short scripture, but so much meat in there.
There's so much meat, Reba. I could do an entire workshop, seminar on this one verse because it talks about debt. It talks mm-hmm. about people that borrow and do not repay. Mm-hmm. It talks about the things that led you to not repay, or what are the stories, what are the circumstances behind not repaying what you borrowed? Mm-hmm. It's like a soap opera. What exactly occurred that led you to not repay? And I look to people and I think we do budget counseling, debt counseling, financial planning, and it may or may not be a sin. It depends on the circumstances.
Interesting. So you're saying go deeper than just the not repay, but what were the circumstances behind it?
Exactly. What were the circumstances behind it? And I'm going to start explaining these economic principles, Reba, because we have time before the break, and we'll talk about that. It's very, very important, though, that we also bring up a great verse from Proverbs. And I'm going to read this to you, Reba. Proverbs 3:27-28. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. That goes hand in hand with Psalm 37:21. The wicked borrow and do not repay. The righteous give generously.
Okay, so it's not the wicked borrow and cannot repay.
Correct.
It's they don't repay.
That's it. And that's why the Psalm or the Proverbs verse is so important. Proverbs 3:27-28. Do not withhold good from those whom it is due. When it is in your power
underline
to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. Mm-hmm. So you're right, Reba. You're following the proper track on this. Very, very important.
Yeah, that I know a lot of people are probably listening and saying, you know, wow, you know, I had to declare bankruptcy, or I have people calling me and I just don't have any money. That's a different set of circumstances like you were talking about.
Exactly. In God's economy, there's gray areas in this section, because it's not saying that if you didn't repay someone, that's a sin unless you didn't have the intent to try to repay them. If you lost your job, if you had an economic problem, an illness, all kinds of things happen in life. And there's room, Reba. There's love. There's grace. Mm-hmm. It is not a sin to borrow and not repay if in your heart and soul you attempted in good faith
you
to try to repay.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's the whole point. And so before the break, I'll give you a couple of economic principles. There's eight economic principles from this verse. Isn't that something?
It is. If you're listening out there, and most of us have debt, most of us are looking at a future that is going to be involved with borrowing money. I mean, it's the system we use here in America. Then you can't afford to not hear these economic principles.
Well, I think so too, Reba, because a lot of people walk around with this big weight on their heart and their shoulders because they went through a bankruptcy and they can't break free from that. They're so down and out and depressed over it. They're thinking, oh, how horrible was I back then?
All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us, the 8 economic principles as we come back.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or, if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share knowing the economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
And we're back, Knowing the Economy of God with our host Tom Meglia. We're discussing the economic principles out of Psalms 37:21. Want to direct you online, theeconomyofgod.com. We've got plenty of resources that you can get into your hands today. We'd love to hear from you, 800-386-3700. 3700. Tom, let's get back into those 8 economic principles.
Thank you, Reba. Number one, those that borrow with no intent of paying back are sinning. That's a sin. That's the wicked.
Do people do that? Borrow without intending not to pay it back?
Absolutely. I meet a lot of people who say, oh, I just did a BK, bankruptcy, chapter 11, chapter 13, chapter 7. I go, well, tell me the story. What's the circumstances? Tell me the background. Mm-hmm. And I can tell if someone sinned in that matter, or if it was the other where it was not their fault,
or they had no forethought to ever paying it back.
Exactly. They knew they could get away with it, Reba.
They never thought, how am I going to pay this back? They just thought, oh, you know, that'll worry about itself later.
Exactly. That kind of thing is irresponsible. That's not what a good steward does. Mm-hmm. The bankruptcy laws were changed last fall.
Yes, they were.
In 05, the fall of 05. And it made it tougher to declare bankruptcy. But prior to that, it was much easier. In our country, we've had 1 million bankruptcies a year for over a decade.
Wow.
In this country, 1 million a year.
Wow.
And a lot of that was irresponsibility, but not all. Some Christians think, oh, if you do a bankruptcy, that's a sin. Not necessarily. Not in God's economy. Now, that's number one. The wicked are those that try to borrow with no intent of ever repaying. That's the wicked Psalm 37:21 refers to. Number two, when the borrowing is to someone they know, a relationship is now infected or affected or broken. When you borrow from someone out there, let's say I'm talking to someone driving down the street right now, okay? a listener and they're thinking, uh-oh, Tom's hearing, that's me he's talking to in this car. Well, if you borrowed from someone you knew, like a brother or a friend, let's just say, or a parent, okay, or a parent borrows from a son or daughter, that relationship is now affected or infected if the borrowing has no repay situation or schedule. Mm-hmm. If there's no repayment, it's affected and hurt the relationship. Mm-hmm. Because that relationship is never the same, Reba. Mm-hmm. It's never the same. Because that person who didn't get the money back is always got in the top of their head, that person owes me money. Mm-hmm. When they hear their voice, when they meet them, see them, talk to them, hear their name, the first thing that comes to mind.
And it causes strife. There's a negative feeling
absolutely.
That's in that relationship now.
Oh, absolutely. That relationship is never the same. Mm-hmm. Anyone that's lived long enough knows that a person who was not repaid, they're upset. Mm-hmm. And that relationship has changed.
Where's my lawnmower?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, bankruptcy, Reba, number three, mm-hmm. bankruptcy is discouraged, but not necessarily a sin. The key is the motive. Some people get disabled or become ill and they can't pay something back and the law forces them into bankruptcy somehow because creditors just hound them and they don't allow reorganization, for example. So bankruptcy isn't necessarily a sin. Mm-hmm. Now, if someone's walking around out there thinking, oh, I did a BK 5 years ago, 20 years ago, I can't forgive myself. Don't do that. Release it. Mm-hmm. God is not holding that against your heart at all.
Well, so you shouldn't try to go back and pay it 20 years later? Or
you should. You should repay. And that's part of the application section, which I'll bring up right now. If you have done a bankruptcy, go back in God's economy and repay those whom were affected. So let's say Bank of America or a Visa card or Bank of America card or American Express.
Your brother-in-law.
Yeah, brother-in-law, anybody uh-huh. didn't get repaid. Mm-hmm. Even though legally you don't owe them, you must try to repay them.
Even if your brother-in-law said, I forgive you, it's okay,
try
you
to
lost
repay
your
them.
Job
yes.
it was 20 years ago.
Try to repay them mm-hmm. because that's the intent. That's God's economy. Mm-hmm. Now, if American Express says, forget it, we're not accepting your check, we wrote you off our books, off our balance sheets and so on, well, that's one thing. But maybe you could give that same money to God's work, a parachurch mm-hmm. ministry or a church mm-hmm. that you were going to give to, let's say, American Express, mm-hmm. who for some reason says we don't want the money even though you did a bankruptcy years ago. The key, Reba, is to try.
To try.
Try. Mm-hmm. Repay at all costs if you can. Give it your best effort. Try to do it. Okay? And never break contact if you're having trouble repaying. A lot of people say, well, I can't pay that person back, so I just won't talk to them. Or entity or company or whomever. Mm-hmm. Try. Keep contact going. Don't break contact. That's not what God would want. What kind of witness is that in God's economy? Mm-hmm. That's a bad witness.
It's an insult to injury.
It's right. It's an insult to injury, Reba. So it's very, very important. Once you make a vow in God's economy, a promise, try really hard to keep it. Pay back what you owe. You borrowed it. You've got to repay it. Mm-hmm. Or at least make a good faith attempt. Mm-hmm. It honors God to repay. That's the key. Okay? And poverty, Reba, is better than dishonesty in God's economy. Mm-hmm. God does not like dishonesty.
That's good.
He doesn't like gypping people, stealing, mm-hmm. cheating, finagling, doing all kinds of stuff that when you owe people and companies and so on. It's better to be in poverty than to be dishonest in
wow.
God's economy.
I think our world is showing us something quite different. I think they say, you know, it's better to have the latest this, the best that. Oh, well, you need this. You don't need to repay them. You need the latest whatever the item is.
Absolutely. But in God's economy, we have a higher calling.
It's opposite.
Right. And we're going to be accountable. I don't want to be in front of God someday and have him say to me, oh, you borrowed from all these sources and had no intent to repay. Uh-huh. I don't want to be thought of that way. That's not what a good and faithful servant does.
Right. Just to have the latest style furniture in your spare bedroom.
That's where the contentment anchor comes in. Mm-hmm. We will be content with the old style of furniture, not the new style.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, as we transition, Reba, to application, can I read you a verse from Exodus?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Exodus 22:5. If you lend money to my people, to the poor among you, you are not to act as a creditor to him. You shall not charge him interest. See, God is saying, when you lend to the poor, it's the same thing as giving. Don't expect repayment.
You know, I was going to ask you about that, the flip side of that coin. because it says the wicked borrow and do not repay. But there's a flip side to that coin, and that's the people who are loaning money to the poor.
That's right. And in God's economy, Reba, if the poor can't pay back, he wants you to forgive it, release it, and let it go.
That's so opposite. I mean, you see, the poor are the ones that are charged more interest.
Exactly. Oh, I mean, I know.
That right there shows you how opposite our worldly economy is from God's economy.
Absolutely. That's why we're writing the book and explaining to people on this program God's thinking. So we apply God's thinking in the world. We're not of the world. We're in it, but not of it. So Christian lending to Christian, let it go. Don't sue them. Don't beat them up. Don't let things get legal.
Don't sue them.
Nope.
A Christian shouldn't sue another Christian.
Never.
Wow.
The Bible prohibits it.
You know what? That's a bold statement to say that, because you know, a lot of people out there are entangled in a lot of legal battles with Christians.
Yes.
What do they do?
Well, see, the Bible in Corinthians talks all over the place. Don't air this in front of public courts and in the public, the secular public view. Deal with it between Christians. Matthew 18:1 says to go to your brother if you have a problem with him. Eye to eye, face to face.
You know, it makes sense, you know, because the world system is different than our system. So how can we expect them to give justice to us when their system is different?
Well, the system's broken, Reba, because it's not one that glorifies Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It is not one that submits the Almighty God as the supreme being, saying, God, you are the owner, not us. That's not what humans do. But Christian lending to Christian needs to release it, forgive it, let it go. That's what Exodus 22:5 says. It's made to be as a gift.
Okay.
And God will bless you for this. So these are the things, Reba. We must apply these to our normal and everyday life. And next week we'll talk more about the economic principles and the application. But I want to make sure it's important that people look inside their hearts, Reba, in application as to how the debt happened. You've got to go back and retrace the steps, okay? It's very, very important.
Like a reenactment in your mind.
Well, like, you know that show, Crime Scene Investigation?
Uh-huh.
How about Debt Scene Investigation? You know, instead of CSI.
I see the making of another show, another dramatic series.
Me too. Instead of CSI, DSI. We need to go back and find out, how did this happen?
Yeah.
And think about it and pray about it. But we do need to release this. God does not want us to be so hung up and in bondage on this debt stuff that it affects our relationships.
It's not to condemn us.
No.
It's to protect us from doing it again.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Reba, how about if I close in prayer?
Let's hear that prayer of change.
Prayer of change. Lord, thank you for this word, this scripture, this lesson. Help us, Lord, to apply it to your glory, Lord, to apply it to our lives, to do what you want us to do, Father God. Help us, Lord, to repay when we borrow and to not make a vow if we cannot keep it. Lord, protect us. We ask for your mercy, Jesus. We give you all the love and the praise. Amen.
Amen. If you prayed that prayer of change, then, you know, that's the first step. I'd like to direct you to our website, theeconomyofgod.com. There are resources there that will be a blessing. They will help you take the next step. The book, Knowing the Economy of God, is almost hot off the press. Until then, make sure you pick up the Job series. If you feel like you're going through a Job experience, we got a huge response on this as we went through this series, and we would love to hear more from you. Number 800-386-3700. Visit us online, theeconomyofgod.com. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God. Yeah.